want to continue to talk to you about our last sermon in the series, Me, Myself, and I. Me, Myself, and I, how to be thankful for yourself, how to understand that God has called you, and God has blessed you, and God has gifted you, and God does have a plan for your life in a great, great way. And again, I want to talk to you about that today. Me, Myself, and I, how to be thankful for yourself, that God has created you just the way you are. Sure, you have your warts and you have your things that you want to grow up in and you want to change, but God is in the business of changing you, of ministering to you. And along that line, again, I want to talk to you about your spiritual gifts today. And there's some categories for the spiritual gifts, and I want to concentrate on one of them, and that's called the motivational gifts, and that's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. And I didn't have a slide this morning because I wanted you to follow along in your scripture. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. And if you turn there with me, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. And we're going to talk about, we're going to concentrate on the motivational gifts today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to you, to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let each use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or service, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, for he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And again, these are motivational gifts. These are gift listings that are what motivates you. And motivation, again, just means what moves us. What moves you? What motivates you? And again, these gifts are classified in that way, and so that you can find out or discover what motivates you. And let me just ask that question to all of you this morning. What motivates you? What turns your crank, so to say? What pulls your chain? What motivates you? Because I'm convinced if you're motivated to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And it really is one of my primary jobs to motivate people to be equipped for the ministry, to live for God in their daily life, their 24/7. So again, let me just pause and ask you, what motivates you? It can be different for each person, right? This weekend I was motivated by food. It's a wonderful thing to have all that food around you. It was all those pies and all those things. It's just a wonderful thing. So I was motivated by food. I wasn't motivated by discipline of diet or anything like that, but I was motivated by food. Again, just let's think about what motivates you, and I'll let you answer that question yourself. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and that says, as each one of you has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each one of you has received a gift from God. You no longer have to operate just in the natural anymore, but you are a steward of that gift. And we're going to talk about, again, the motivational gifts this morning. What motivates you? What gives you a desire? What turns your crank? And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But each one of you has been given a gift. I want you to recognize that. And maybe some multiple ones. But you're motivated by a certain thing. You're motivated in a certain way. And the Scripture wants you to recognize, the Spirit wants you to recognize what motivates you, what gives you desire, and what gifts can you operate in. And again, we're going to concentrate on the motivational gifts. Again, we've said that there's manifestational gifts, and I've already said to you last week that those manifestational gifts are meant to be operated on you can all operate in them on when the occasion arises. And they are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. There's diversity of gifts through 11, and let me just read off the list to you. There's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And all of those gifts have a function. We believe that everyone can receive the gift of tongues because of its function. It's meant to edify you as a believer, and it's meant to give you power for witnessing. That is the function of tongues. And so why would you not want to seek that gift? Why would you not want to understand that gift enough in order to receive, so that you can edify yourself as you're speaking to God in other tongues, and as you receive power to become His witnesses, first to Jerusalem and then to the surrounding area? You would want that gift. You'd want to understand enough about that gift to receive. And this is what Paul is saying to us. I want you to understand. I don't want you to be ignorant about the gifts. I want you to seek them. I want you to come after them. I want you to receive them for yourself, because they're for you, they're of God, and He wants you to operate in them. So words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of those are available as needed in our lives, I believe. When I need a word of wisdom, I can ask the Lord for it. And He says, if I ask, what will happen to me? If I ask, I shall receive. Now, I don't know how that wisdom sometimes works out in my life. Sometimes it doesn't work out in ways that I'm looking for. Have you ever had that experience? I've wanted God to be a little more bold or loud, or in a way, speak my language, speak Tyler. Instead, he decides to speak the language of the Spirit, and I have to adjust to His language. I have to learn His language, if you will. But He is always speaking, and He does say that if I ask for wisdom, He will give me wisdom. If some of you need the gift of healing in this room, we can lay our hands upon you and ask for the gift of healing to flow through us. On that occasion, in that moment, we can ask for the gift of healing to flow through us. And I want to be the kind of church, the kind of people that flows in that gift. Because people need the gift of healing today. The gift of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. I want to know what's going on in the spiritual realm. I don't want to be spooky or goofy or anything like that, but I want to know what's going on in the spiritual realm so I can ask God for that gift, and so can you. And so I just wanted to spend a moment and say to you, you need to seek after the gifts of God. You need to go after them. You need to understand that you are anointed of the Lord to be His minister. You are anointed of the Lord. Peter says that we are a people, a peculiar people, but He also calls us kings and priests. And I'd like you to picture in your mind being anointed. They used to pour oil upon them, where it dripped down into their beard and into their clothes and onto their collar and all those kind of things. Picture yourself being anointed that way to be His minister, to be His priest. And that's what you are. You get to go into the Holy of Holies and be with God, and then you get to represent God to the people. That's what you are. That's what you're equipped for. Four. Again, back in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, says that you must be submitted to God. He wants you to submit yourself to God, that He is the Lord of your life, that He helps you make your decisions. You're second. You're the co-pilot. You're not the pilot anymore. You're separated unto God. You're submitted to God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5 talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be worldly. Put on a new attitude. Put on a spiritual attitude. Don't be consumed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the things that you have. Don't be consumed by those things. Those are worldly. And if you're going to be worldly, you can't have God. None of us in this room want to be worldly to the extent that we can't have God. But he's saying, be not worldly. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me ask you a question. How do you do that? How do you renew your mind? How do you think the thoughts of God? How do you get the mind of God? But by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord will lead you into all truth. It will take some study and it will take some effort. But the Spirit of the Lord will lead you into truth. You can trust Him to do that. If He can save your soul, don't you think that He can lead you into truth? And don't you think that He can help you avoid error? Don't you think that He can help you from going down the primrose path, if you will? He can lead you into all truth by the renewing of your mind. That means for some of you, you need to take every thought captive this morning. You don't have to take every thought that you think as coming from you or God. You can take it captive. You can throw it away. You can, when the spirit of fear comes upon you, oh, I'm never going to make it. I won't do it. I won't be able to minister for the Lord. You know that that thought does not come from the Lord. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Take it captive. How many times a day do you have to take it captive? As many as it takes. As many as it takes. For some of us, we've had a thought pattern in our lives for so long. There is a worn path there. You don't even have to think about going there. You go there naturally. And to be able to take that thought captive, you're going to have to fight it. You're going to have to take it captive by the Spirit of the Lord. And however long it takes, however many times it takes, take it captive that day. You might be tired at the end of the day, but that tiredness is leading to the right direction. There are times when I'm tired, like eating after eating all that pie and turkey and all that stuff. I'm tired, and it's not really a good tire. It's a sugar coma. I know it's not a good tired, but it was fun getting there. But after I get done working out with kettlebells or in the pool, or working out in the pool or those kind of things, or working out with weights, I'm tired, but it's a good tired. I'm going somewhere. I'm building my muscle. I'm building my heart. I'm building my stamina. When you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, it's a good tired. It's a good fight because you know that you're leading, you're going somewhere. It's not just a turkey coma or a sugar coma. It's not a worldly coma anymore. It's a spiritual tiredness that's leading you somewhere. Why not take every thought captive? Be renewed as you're using your spiritual gifts. Think clear or be humble. It's not being humble doesn't mean you think you're a worm. It just means that you get to think less about yourself, not less of yourself. You don't have to think less of yourself to be humble. You just get to have the freedom of thinking less about yourself. You get to think about others. In order to use your gifts, you must understand that God is the one giving it to you. That you're not all of that sometimes, but you are special to Him, and He wants to give you a gift liberally. I used to ask my grandmother for a car when I was 16. She was wealthy enough, and I figured I'd just ask. We get to that Christmas. There's a little box with my name on it. I open it up, and it is a car, but it is a Hot Wheel. It's a Matchbox car. Until you earn it, that's all you're going to get from me. God gives you gifts wrapped up. God gives you gifts bigger than you think that you can handle. He is able to do above and beyond what you ask or think. So before we get into this, I want you to understand that God is in the business of giving you spiritual gifts. So, not for yourself necessarily, but for Him and for the people around you. Could you imagine if the 100 or so people, 70 or so people in this room were all functioning in their gifts, not for themselves, but for others and for the glory of God, what we could do? What we could do in this room? If you didn't say, oh no, not me, I can't, I'm not willing, I won't be able to give my time. What if someone doesn't respond well to me? Oh, What's the common denominator there? Me. Me, me, me. And this isn't, and that's why he says, think wisely about yourself. Remember, it's not about you, but it's about him giving to you. Receive this morning. Receive the oil. Receive from him this morning. And then concentrate on developing that gift. Concentrate on developing. If it's prophecy, prophesy. If it's service, be a servant. That's a goal that nobody can get in your way. If your goal is to be a servant, all you have to do is be a servant, right? Doesn't matter how people respond, doesn't matter. But if your goal is to be a leader, people got to follow you. And if they don't, that can be frustrating. But if your goal is to be a servant, then be a servant. So again, he says in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, here's your motivational gifts. Here's what motivates most all of us. And he starts out with prophecy. And prophecy is simply seeing. It doesn't mean foretelling the future here. It's simply seeing. Those with a prophetic gift or the gift of prophecy as a motivational gift, not as the operation or the manifestational gift, but that's what motivates you. They're able to see. They're able to see into people. They're able to see a situation, and it's usually black or white for them. There is no gray. They don't do gray very, very well. It's usually black or white, right or wrong. That's what motivates them. Brings accountability, reveals the inner heart's motivations, brings inner conviction, brings awareness of God's presence, makes people fall on their knees. They're able to see what's going on in your life and call it out. My example is John the Baptist. John the Baptist operated in the gift of prophecy or was motivated, at least one of the things that he was motivated by was the gift of prophecy, right or wrong. He was famous for saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" I had a roommate. He was a goofy roommate. He was from Wisconsin. Where's Greg? He was, and if you've been in college for as long as I was, 5 years, you run into some goofy roommates once in a while, and you could probably all tell me a story about your goofy roommate. Mine was this guy, and he would come in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we lived on the fifth floor, and our window faced Elliott Park, and he would fling open the window, and there would be all kinds of sin and debauchery going on in Elliott Park, and he would yell at the top of his lungs, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" He was nuts. He didn't do it every night, but just about. Not good. Somebody with the gift of prophecy has the ability to discern the character and motives of others. And you need to be careful. You need to be careful with this because it could send you down the wrong road. A strong desire to convey truth may be interpreted as little interest in listening to others. They're motivated by conveying the truth. You want the truth. You want to convey the truth. You want to talk about the truth. You don't want to hear people's excuses. You don't want to hear, if you only understood. No. You need to understand the truth. That's what you need to understand. I don't need to understand you. You need to understand the truth. Easily identifies and hates evil. Again, it's black and it's white. Evil is evil. Good is good. You shouldn't participate in evil. That's the way it is. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Can demonstrate brokenness in order to prompt brokenness in others. Is willing to share, is willing to learn, is willing to learn about themselves, is willing to demonstrate brokenness so that other people will be broken also. They depend on the Scripture to validate their authority. The Scripture is it. Not circumstance, not consequence, not the Scripture is it. That's what they stand on, and rightfully so. Sometimes the interest in groups can be seen as lacking concern for the individual. What I mean is, this is the overall plan. Either get with it or get left. Get right or get left. May be viewed as harsh because they're not real mercy-oriented. If you were to take a test, you would score zero. From zero to ten, and there's some of you in this room, I know that. I know that your mercy gift is next to nothing. I've experienced it. generally speaks persuasively and frankly. Speaks persuasively and frankly. They get their point across. Boldness and strict standards can come between personal relationships. Because there's a standard and you don't apply by that standard, I don't need your relationship. Inwardly weeps and identifies sin as they are trying to help others. It bothers them when people are in sin. It should bother us all, shouldn't it? We should go out of our way to help that brother who is stumbling before they have to stumble too far. But these people put their word into action because of the sin that they hate so much. And one thing about them is they're eager to have their own blind spots pointed out. When you point it out to them, they don't go, no, you're all wrong. Not me. Me and God have that taken care of. They're willing to take a look at it and go, yeah, maybe so. I want to grow. I want to grow myself. So you may have the prophetic gift in this. It's black and white, right and wrong. You can see why we need those people in this congregation, don't you? Especially in today's day and age. Especially when people are wanting to have their ears tickled. Especially when everything is being thrown up for grabs. We need those people. We need you here. You need to do it in a loving way. But we need you here to say, oh no, you're going off a little far. You need to pay attention. Prophetic can also see the good in others and call it out. Because they're seers, they can see the good. And you need to call that out. You need to call that out. You need to see it and take a risk and call it out of somebody. You may see that they need to go and be a witnesser. You may see that God has placed something in them and nobody else has called it out because they don't see it. You need to call it out. You need to use your seeing and call it out. So prophecy, is that what motivates you? Black and white, right and wrong. Seeing the good, seeing the bad. Calling it out. Seeing your own bad and calling it out. But you can concentrate on the good too. You can concentrate on what God has placed there in them. So prophecy. The next one is good. The gift of service. Practical assistance is the words that I'd like you to remember. Practical assistance. Fulfillment comes from seeing the needs of others and meeting that need through an expression of their hands or action. Are you... The gift of service, is that what motivates you? Is that what motivates you? Can you guess what illustration I'm going to give you? She's one of the sisters. Martha. Martha gets a bad rap sometimes because she didn't sit at the feet of Jesus. But without Martha's around, guess what? not a lot would get done in a practical sense. So I love you, Marthas. I do. And I give you a place here. But Martha is my biblical illustration. She had a tendency to do things herself. And she got mad when other people wouldn't do it. Sitting around at the feet of Jesus when she's having to do everything herself. You all who have this gift have a tendency to do things yourself. What you need to do so that you don't burn out and get taken advantage of, or feel like you're being taken advantage of. Every once in a while, my mother, who is one of the greatest servant-oriented people I know, that's her gift motivation is servanthood. she would get the feeling like we were all taking advantage of her, which was probably true. And she would take a day off or so, or two, and say, "You're on your own now for a couple of days. But where's, I don't care, find it yourself. But how am I going to, well, I don't, figure it out." They have a tendency to do things themselves. You need to learn how to delegate. You need to learn how to train someone to help you serve. Many hands make light work. Some of you feel bad about that delegation. You feel guilty because then you're not doing it. Well, multiplication is a lot better than adding. Again, had a tendency to do things herself. She didn't seem to be a good administrator. Again, she was always doing it herself. She was pushy and appeared to take over. Well, she can't be doing that. She's got to be doing that. But being a servant is a good characteristic because you see the needs of others, and that motivates you to go ahead and meet that need. Eagerness to serve. You have an eagerness to serve. You look for things. You don't have to be told. Is motivated to meet the needs of others as far as they possibly can. And they want to do it in a quick way. They don't want you to have to sit around and wait. They want to do it in a quick way, and sometimes that can be pushy, right? Other people like to weigh out all the options, see what path to take, see how much it's going to cost. Servant people just want to see the need, get it done, meet the need so that they can meet the other one. Generally, they have a good disposition and have some physical stamina to them because they're always serving. And serving takes some stamina, doesn't it? Are willing to use their personal funds to serve someone else? Are you willing to use their personal time to serve someone else? You see the need and you want to meet it. And that's a great motivation to have. Now, we're all supposed to be servants. But you're motivated by that. You remember the likes and dislikes of other people and you try to meet them for the glory of God. So is that you? Are you a servant? And part of the reason I wanted to bring this up today is that this is just a springboard. You need to study yourself. You need to figure out what motivates you. Who are you? What motivates you? Are you a servant? Are you an administrator? Are you a prophet? We need all of you in this place. Teaching is another gift that he tells us about. Clarifying truth is the words that I'd like you to remember here. Jesus taught throughout Scripture. The ministry of Apollos is the biblical example I'd like to leave with you in Acts 18:27. He helped believers. 1 Corinthians, he watered and not planted. In Acts 18:24, he's described as a teacher. 18:25, he's careful, systematic, diligent, and accurate. 18:24 and 25, knowledge, ministry based on the knowledge of Scripture, willing to be taught by other. Characteristics of a teacher is they strive to be accurate. They're concerned about being accurate. They don't want what they're teaching to be wrong. They want it to be accurate according to the Scripture. They establish systems of truth in order to validate the information they're giving. Their presentation of truth is systematic and in order. They do it to build up the body, to edify, and to motivate. Their presentation may appear not to be practical. Sometimes they're so concerned about the detail and their presentation of truth that they forget to tie it into the practical. They don't use everyday illustrations. Those illustrations irritate them. If they're not based on Scripture or from Scripture, those illustrations kind of irritate them. Well, why would I want to tell my own personal story when it's not based on Scripture? And they don't do it because that doesn't motivate them. May appear to have lack of warmth, feeling, or when they're speaking because they want to convey the truth. They want to convey the truth. They may have the general idea that their gift is basic to all others. Theirs is the foundation to all others. Without teaching, we're all sunk. And they have to be careful of that. They may have greater fulfillment from their research than they do actually in delivering the mail, if you will. They like the research. And we need those kind of people here in this body. And some of you have a teaching gift that you've allowed to lay dormant because somebody said something to you or whatever it might be. You need to step up because we need teachers in this building. One more we'll get through. The gift of exhortation, encouragement. The exhorter has a powerful gift of sharing life centered in experiences. Exhorters love to see others grow and mature. It is important for them that others are happy in their personal and social relationships. They love to stimulate others and are genuinely loved. Can you guess the scriptural example I'm going to use? Barnabas, right? Barnabas means the sons of consolation. His message appealed to the will. Growth and successful living was his focus. He wanted people to grow. He wanted them to understand how to live. He wanted to encourage people. When other people weren't encouraging, when Paul wasn't encouraging John Mark, Barnabas came and said, "You can come with me, son. We'll keep doing this. Be encouraged." And when other people wouldn't respond to Paul, who went and got him? Barnabas. Who stuck up for him in front of the brothers in Jerusalem? It was Barnabas. He's an encourager. We need people to be encouragers. You need to encourage your children. You need to encourage each other. We're all called to encourage each other, but this is your gift. You're an encourager. You need to be looking for people in this room to encourage. You need to be going after people and encouraging them to live and to live life to the fullest. It's your gift. Love to associate with others and who are eager to follow steps of action. There's steps of action. You follow them. Let's live together. Let's be in community together. Let's follow the steps of action so that we can all grow in the Lord, so that your life can be better and mine. Truth will be a blend of biblical support and living experiences. They like to use those living experiences. They like to use those living illustrations from their lives. And they're the kind of people that will find a good illustration and find a scripture to go along with it. They're not so concerned about the history, but they are concerned about now. And we need those kind of people. Words need to be demonstrated in experience. You need to do what you say you're going to do. Giving. Some of you, we're all called to give, but some of you just find great joy in giving. And you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That motivates you. You do it in secrecy. You don't have to be blowing the trumpet so that people know that you're doing it. That's not who you are. Somebody who looks to give to the needs of others financially, through their time, through their talent. You're looking to give. And we need people like that. We need people like that. You have to be aware, if you're a giver, not to be gullible. Not to be gullible. You need to be aware that some people are on the take. We have some people like that that come through the building here every once in a while, from the street. And I'm a giver. I like to give. And I have to recognize not to be gullible, to understand that they've been to 4 or 5 churches before this one, and they probably made more money than me today. I need to be aware of that. And there will be occasion in that awareness that the Lord will speak to me and tell me to give anyway. But it's fun to be able to give, and you get great joy out of that. You need to be able to give and trust the Lord. The gift of ruling. The gift of leadership. Some of you can see an overall vision and put that into practice. You know the steps. When I talk to you, you can see the steps, what we should do, what we need to do, step A, step B, step C. And we need those kind of people. Sometimes they're not so mercy-oriented. Could you imagine if we had 5 people on the board that were all mercy-driven? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if we had 5 people on the board who were all giving-driven? Or that we are all prophets? We would tear you up and spit you out. But we need some leaders. We need some leaders, some people who can see this is the where we need to go, this is how we need to get there, and this is how we're going to implement the plan. We need people like that within this congregation to help us get where we're going. And some of you need to step up. You have a leader gift and you know it. But you don't do it in the church. You do it in the outside world. That's where the leadership gift belongs. No, no. You need to be a king right here. You need to lead right here. We need you. We need some leaders to step up. They have a strong awareness of the resources that are available. We were in Wilmer this weekend, and they're building a $2-point-something million children's wing. And one of the guys on the board knows how to get things. He knows the resources. They're building it out of pre-poured cement walls. He got it from somewhere down in southern Minnesota. The business was going out of business. He got that company to give him those walls. All they had to do was pay for the transportation, which was enough. But he knew how to get stuff in a Christian way, not in a shyster kind of way. He knew how to get stuff. And he's doing it all over the place. He's using his gift of leadership and knowing how to get the resources and knowing how to put A plus B, how to do that to benefit the church. They're going to have a $2-point-some million children's facility for a lot less than that because of him. He's using his gift. You need to use yours also. You might have the gift of leadership. You need to try and develop that. And the gift of mercy. You have empathy. You can empathize with people where they're at. You'd be good to go to the hospital. Sometimes you wouldn't want to send a leadership person or a prophetic person if they're moving in the... Come on, just get better. Kind of deal. Mercy. You can empathize. You can feel. And people need that. People need to be understood. And it's not that we don't all understand, but people need to be understood, and that's a gift. That's a motivational gift for some of you. That you can understand where they're coming from. You can talk their language. You can figure out where they are. You can feel what they feel. And sometimes that's a danger because you begin to take on their stuff, don't you? That's a danger for some of you that are operating in mercy because you begin to take on their woundedness and it's not yours. You're to understand it and to help it. But you can operate in mercy. So there's prophetic. You see in people's lives. You see what's there and you can call it out both positively and negatively. You have the platform to do that here. You have a platform. You need to be a little more careful with the negatively, right? I mean, we all know that. Speak the truth in love. But prophetically, you can see what needs to be called out in somebody and you can call it out. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The gift of service. You can see things that need to be done. And you don't need to be noticed for it. What a great thing that is. What a great thing that is. You need to serve people. And you're motivated to do so. What you have to watch out is that you're not trying to do it all by yourself so that you don't get burnt out or start to feel used. Oh, you know who you can call? You know who you should call to get to... Get done something that needs to be done. Somebody that's already doing enough, right? you 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 have to watch it. You have to delegate. The gift of teaching. We need you to teach. We need you to show us the Word. We need you to show us the principles of the Word. We need you to do that. We need you to stand up. And that's your motivation. You need to teach. Then you need to give. You need to give from your heart. And God will bless you. Some of you need to exhort one another. Encourage one another. That's a gift that we all need in this day and age. Some of you need to rule. Some of you need to participate in mercy. We all do in these things. But you need to participate in your gift. How I'd like to end today is, let's have the band come up. I think I'd like to have you do the plan song or the not. I'm afraid I didn't communicate as well as I'd like to today. But the idea is that you need to concentrate on what your motivation is. What motivates you? What motivates you? What turns your crank? God has placed it in you. And you get the opportunity not only to operate in the natural now, but to take that natural and move it to the supernatural. You get an opportunity to move in the Spirit, to be motivated, to receive the gift from the Lord. He has a plan for you. And part of that plan is to be used within this body, to use your gifts in a safe way, in a great way, to be encouraged. So I'm just gonna ask you to stand. They're gonna lead us in that song once again. I'm just gonna ask you to receive from the Lord today. If you want to come to the altar, you certainly can. If you don't, that's fine also. But just picture Him anointing you for service. He's anointing you to finish what He started. He's anointing you to finish what He continued, what He will continue until that day. He's anointing you. Pouring the oil upon you. And you need to operate in your gifts. The motivational gifts, the ones we just talked about, the manifestational gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Ask the Lord. Seek them. Find them. Go after them. Go after Him. He loves you and cares for you. So as they sing, if you want to come forward, you can. If you want to stay in your seat, you can. I would encourage you just to lift your hands and receive from the Lord today. Thank you, Lord.